isn't it? What do you pray for? What do you pray about? What is it that fills your prayer life personally? As you look back, if you pray, I'm not assuming that you do, but if you do, what kind of things do you actually pray for? Maybe you have a list. Some people have a book. Some people are very good and organized at having little books. They have writing down things that they pray for, or people who've asked that they prayed for to be prayed for them. Some people are wonderfully faithful like that, aren't they? I knew someone some time ago who was very, very good at writing down in his little book people to pray for, things they'd asked for, and to continue praying for them. What do you ask for prayer for? If we did that thing this evening, we said, you know, turn to the person next to you and share something that you'd like prayer for, what would you say? Or if in a home group setting or wherever it might be that you ask people to pray for you, or you get put in that situation of having to come up with a prayer request. You know what it's like when you quite, sometimes there's a burning thing, isn't there? You know, like I'm currently have some kind of vomiting bug and, you know, here's something obvious to pray for. I usually move away from people who ask for that kind of prayer request, to be honest. But other times we think, what? That doesn't seem like a big thing for me to ask for you to pray for me right now. What do we ask when we ask for prayer? As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us, Paul writes here. He's asking a prayer request. It's an emphatic call for them to pray for them. And the way he writes it is that he wants them not just to pray once. This isn't a read the letter and, you know, give us a prayer, guys. This is pray and keep on praying is what he's writing here. He's showing us that actually the people he's writing to, he's not just writing to them as, you know, someone in some manner over them with some kind of level of authority, but actually they share in his work. They share in what he's doing by them praying for him. That actually he needs their prayer in his work. And actually, I think as we look at this very little passage, which in some ways is kind of a little transition from where we've just been to where we're going, so we're kind of in a bit of intermission really between things. But hidden away here, I think there's some very interesting things that we can learn about prayer. For me, it sits on the back of actually what we were talking about last week, for those who were here last Sunday evening, the passage just before, which in brief summary says, stand firm. Verse 15, so then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teaching we passed on to you. And we looked at lots of the little things in that passage that we can stand firm in who God is, in what Christ has done. But to stand firm, and to me these are the things that actually then we stand firm to do. And I think it tells us something about prayer here. I think we learn about prayer, which is helpful because that's something which we're thinking about this year, that we might pray a bit more together as a church, a bit more of the we prayer, as Celia's been helpfully reminding us that there's something special when we gather together, but also a bit more of the I prayer that we might do personally as well. So I think this shows us something about prayer and what we might be praying for. But also I think this has a lot to tell us about mission. And about actually our witness as a church. And in some ways, this follows on nicely, if you were here this morning, from what John was sharing with us this morning. Part of our mission statement as a church is that we offer witness to the whole world. And actually, when we look here at what Paul asks prayer for, we see a huge emphasis about the mission that he was involved in. So it begins, actually, with the mission being the message. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may be spread rapidly. Actually, what he's talking about, when the mission that Paul has, what he's out and doing, what he's asking for prayer for, is that the message of the Lord would be spread. That actually, what it is that he's doing is seeking to spread the message of Jesus Christ, the good news, the gospel of who Jesus is, and what he has done for us, of how God has revealed himself to us in Jesus Christ. This is what mission is about. This is what our witness is to. Our witness is to the good news as revealed in Jesus Christ. We might witness to it in a whole bunch of different ways. There might be a many variety of ways, from going out on a street and having a service and Good Friday in the town centre together, to providing people with food through Food Bank. There might be a whole variety of ways we seek to witness to it. But we need to remember at the heart of all that, what we're seeking to witness to is the good news. Is that God entered into our world in Jesus Christ. That he's not far away and distant and uncaring, but he loved the world enough to come and walk among us himself. That he's still among us by his Holy Spirit. That he calls people today to follow him. That no one is too far away to come to Jesus Christ. That anyone who turns, it will be welcomed with open arms. This is the message. This is what mission is about. What our witness is to witness and testify to the good news of Jesus Christ. But it's not just about the message here. Actually, Paul here sees that he has a part to play. Pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread. Paul's asking for prayer, not just that the message would somehow spread on its own, but that his involvement in it, that he's got a part to play in this message being spread. That he has this job to do in sharing the message. This isn't just about praying that the gospel would come to other people, but actually Paul taking his part in that. That we might pray for others as they do that, that we might pray for those who've gone from here, for those who we support around the world. Our mission links, they're all inside the notice sheet. You can read about some of those. Those organizations that maybe you personally support, the ones that we support as a church. The people that we send out, even from this building each week, people like Wayne and Sarah, who go off into schools each week and are sharing something of this good news. I'd really value your prayers for me in what I do, for Elsie in what she'll be doing in each day as we have opportunities to share something of this message. So it is to pray for those who go in that way, but also to recognize our part to play, that each of us has a part to play, that each of us is a witness. In whatever way it may be, we are some form of witness to Jesus Christ by the way we live each day. And I wonder if at times, a bit like Paul asks here, we need to ask for prayer a bit more about how we witness. I'd love to hear a bit more when I sit around in home group. Got some members of my home group here this evening, so I can make us all think about this. That when we sit around, and it does happen from time to time, some people are much better at it than I am. But actually when we sit around and we say, what should we pray for? They actually think, well, how can people pray for me in my witness to others? Actually, who would I like them to pray for that I'm around each day? That I might have an opportunity to share something of the gospel. That in my actions I might reveal something of Jesus to them. That I might be salt and light wherever it is that I am tomorrow. Perhaps we can hear Paul's call, not just to pray, both to pray for those who are going, like Paul as mission workers, but also to hear it as the call to be praying ourselves for one another in the mission that we have as we seek to share the message of Jesus Christ and that the message might be spread. But Paul doesn't just say, would the message be spread? Pray for us that the message of the Lord may be spread. But he says, pray for us that the message of the Lord may be spread rapidly. That it might be spread rapidly. The word he actually uses in there is that the word of the Lord might run. Is actually the word he uses. It's been translated for us as spread rapidly, because that's perhaps an easier way for us to understand it. But the word he actually uses is a human word, as though the message is alive. That the message is physically running. I think anthropomorphic is the fancy word for making something human that's not really, but I might have that wrong, so I won't say that with confidence. Anyway, and it gives us a sense that actually that mission is superhuman, that it's something that's alive. It's not just about us taking a message, but actually there's something more alive here than we might, than simply us sharing some words with someone else. It's almost certain that Paul was making a little reference back to a psalm, Psalm 147, verse 15. It says this, he sends his command to the earth, his word runs swiftly. That God's word is able to run of its own accord. His word runs swiftly. And there's a sense actually of saying, actually, when what Paul's saying, he's not just asking that the gospel would spread. that a few more people might find out about it, that, you know, help me tomorrow in whatever it is I'm doing. But actually, this real desire that the gospel would spread rapidly, that it would be shared around the world. And as I read that and I pondered about that, I wondered if my attitude's just something more relaxed than that. Of course, we want people to hear about the gospel. Of course, we want people to know the good news. Of course, we want people to hear this message that we believe is life-changing, transforming, that we believe changes lives today. But they could hear about it tomorrow. And Paul seems to have this call to, that it would spread with speed, that it would run. I saw a thing in the news just this week that said that some statistician had looked at something and worked out that they think there'll be more Muslims in the world than Christians by 2070. Now, I don't know what we do with that. I don't know how it was statistically worked out. And it's perhaps like one of those statistics that they said, you know, there'll be no churches left by 2020 or something like that. And I think we might still be around. But it perhaps is, if nothing else, perhaps it might just make us pray a bit more. That the message might spread and spread rapidly. That it might run on, that it might even run on ahead of us. And there's a sense here in this message being spread of running on ahead of us, of its superhuman nature, that is a reminder to us that there's unseen spiritual forces at work. That when we talk about the spread of the gospel, when we pray for the spread of the gospel, we're not simply praying, you know, would Andy put together a coherent talk this Sunday, please? It's not simply human factors. We're talking about some unseen spiritual forces that are going on. In verse 2, Paul starts talking about being delivered from wicked and evil people. That he would be delivered from those who are opposing the gospel. We don't know who he's describing as that human opposition. It seems like he's almost certainly describing some group or another, but it's one of those unanswered questions as to exactly who it is. But today we know that there's those who oppose the spread of the gospel. Today we know there's who don't like it, who don't like that Wayne goes into schools, who don't like that Christianity is taught anywhere other than, you know, in this building. We know that there are those who oppose any idea of telling others about the gospel. But let's not leave it at simply human level. Let's remind ourselves that behind all of that, there is an evil one who wants to oppose us, who seeks to oppose the spread of the gospel, who wants to blind people and restrict them and keep them bound in lies. We need to pray that the gospel might run ahead, that we and those who are sent from here will be protected from those who oppose the gospel. Caleb, who is six, thinking about him getting older, this is the problem. Don't look at me with such a pull, Anne. I had a moment. Six. I was looking at his spellings the other day, and that he's going through. He gets spellings every week. And I saw, looking down his list of spellings, one of the words he was learning to spell, for some reason, don't ask me why, was the word evil. And I thought, I don't think I really like that. It was my instant reaction. I don't like that you're learning to spell the word evil. You know, you're only six. Why are you learning? Why? I guess they're trying to get them to learn more descriptive words, I guess. But then equally, I'm not sure I would encourage him in his English writing to describe things as evil, necessarily. But I did then second-guess myself, or rather check myself, and say, why is it I don't want him to learn that? And I realised that, although there might be some good reasons for him not to learn it, really what I was doing was just trying to ignore evil. I was falling into that trap of the devil's greatest trick, is to convince us that he isn't real. That actually, because sometimes these things are tricky, because we know of the way people have abused talking about things as evil or people as evil or whatever it might be, because of the sanitized society that we live in, we easily switch off from these things. And we fall into that trap of just ignoring that there is something more going on than simply human communication. That the message we're seeking to spare, the mission that we have, the witness that we have, is more than just us seeking to convey a piece of information. That actually there is a superhuman level going on here. There is a spiritual reality. And within that, there are forces who oppose the spread of the gospel. So we need to pray. We need to pray that we might be delivered from those. But also to remember what it says here in verse 3. And we miss the way it's kind of described in the Greek, because in the Greek it goes, "And pray for us that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. Faithful is the Lord." It's the best way I can get to describing what's in the Greek. It goes straight from faith to faithful. That although there's some faithless, although there is opposition, although there are some who will stand against, the Lord is faithful. In all the opposition that we may have, the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. That although we have opposition, that although we recognize and we pray about the opposition that there may be in the world, we too must not forget in that and believe that we are in some way overpowered. Because all the faithlessness there is in the world, we have a God who is faithful and will strengthen and protect us in whatever might come our way. Mission's about the message. Mission is superhuman. May it run on ahead of us. But also, mission is about its reception. So far, in what we've said, in saying mission's about the message and mission's superhuman, we could probably just justify ourselves standing up and just kind of shouting at people about the gospel. Yeah, we can just, thus far, we can just stand on a street corner and just shout at people and read verses from the Bible at them, which is a form of mission, I know, for some. But so far, what we've said kind of just justifies that approach. But also, what he says here isn't just that the message of the Lord was spread rapidly, he also wants it to be honored. Pray that the message of the Lord would spread rapidly and be honored, it says here. Literally, he says glorified. The literal meaning of the word behind honored is glorified. That the message that we're sharing might be glorified, might have a glorious reception. That people might receive it with the respect and the honor and the glory that it is due. So we don't just pray for those who are going, for those who are sharing the message, for one another as we do that. We don't just pray for the spiritual reality behind that. We also pray for those who receive it, for those who will hear the message, that they might give it the reception that it is due. But I think there's more to it than just that. I think also if the message is going to be glorified as people receive it, if they're going to receive it with honor, I think we also need to strive that it is glorified in us who share it. Because actually, our example, the way that we live, is either going to help or hinder how people receive the message that we share. If you like, it's a lot in some ways about our silent witness. And I don't mean, you know, the TV program at the moment that it's about dead people, different thing. But I mean the witness that we have without words, the witness that we have by every day that we live, by the things that we do. Paul goes on in verse 4 to say, "We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things that we command." And in a lot of ways there, he's setting up what's coming next. For as I said, this is a bit of an interlude. He's leading in to what's coming from verse 6 and what you'll hear next week, and the commands that he's bringing to them a second time, really. They've already heard something of it from 1 Thessalonians. But that's all about next week, so I'll leave that to then. But generally, aside from the specifics that are going to come next week, do we live following God's commands? Do we live a life that honours him? That actually, if we want people to honour the message that we share, then actually we also need to live a life that honours that message. Because there's an extreme irony if we go out to share the gospel, to be people who seek to share the word of God, but we fail to obey it in our own light, in our own lives. There's a sense in the way he describes it here of sort of a military connotations that will continue to do the things that we command. He uses a military word that actually we might look to the commands of God and seek to live by them. And this isn't just something for leaders, for people who've been sent out, for the missionaries and people employed by the church or elders or whatever. Actually, it's not just something for them. In a military understanding, you know, an army wouldn't work terribly well if it's only the officers who follow the commands. Yeah? That's how armies fall apart. Actually, the commands that are given in an army are for everyone. That actually everyone needs to look to the commands of God and seek to obey him. That the message we seek to share might be honoured and glorified by those who receive it. Now, there's a danger in this, because there's a danger that if we say, well, I struggle, there's things in my life that I know I'm not quite got sorted out yet, that I need God's help in to work out. There's a danger in there that we use that as an excuse to not be a witness. I'm not a good enough witness because actually I haven't got this right. I don't understand that. I'm still working on this, and you know, I get angry too often, and so I can't be a witness because I'm not obedient enough. I guess my short answer would be no excuses. Yes, we're all works in progress. Yes, none of us have got all the answers, and none of us are perfect. Of course, there's things that we all need to deal with in our lives. It doesn't stop us seeking to be a witness, recognizing that we are works in progress. But perhaps the greatest thing that might help us overcome that is actually the love of God. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love, Paul writes, that we might be directed into God's love, his love for the world. God is love. And he loves our world deeply. There's one person I know who seemed to perhaps capture something of the heart of God so much more fully than for those who don't know him than almost anyone I've met. He once described to me how he sometimes, I don't think this is a regular occurrence, otherwise he'd probably never get any shopping done, but he'd walk down the high street. He'd see all the people. He'd see all those who just don't know Christ. And he'd just cry. Because of God's great love for them. Because he recognized God's heart and God's desire for people to know him. For people to be in the right relationship with him. Because he knew a God who was dying to meet them. And his heart had been broken for the lost. Now, he was someone who's often an evangelist and doing all sorts of things. But actually, all of us can come and recognize God's love for those who don't know him. His desire for all to know him and to follow him. For those who we know, our neighbours, those we're around each day, that we sit next to, that we work across from. For those that actually we just brush by, that we have a passing acquaintance with, that we might just have a small opportunity, that we might just get a moment. For those who are around and surrounding our mission links, those who we've sent out, those who we support, that actually they might know more and more of God's love. And that actually, as we know God's love, we might be led to pray and to reach out to those around us. That as we know God's love, we might be led to persevere in sharing his word. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Christ was the one who persevered even to the cross. Christ's perseverance. And we need that perseverance because actually it's hard. It's hard to be faithful in prayer. It's hard to be a witness. Especially today. Especially today, I feel it's not easy here. In a society where perhaps so often people don't want to know, where faith is shut into something that's private and not public, where some workplaces want to shut up any conversation about faith or politics or anything interesting. But there are those who want to hear. And sometimes in the face of all that, we need to go back to last week and remember to stand firm. To stand firm in who God is. To persevere. To recognize the love of God for those who don't know him. To pray. And to be encouraged and strengthened by him in every good deed and every word. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the message that you have given us, the gospel, the good news that we have in your word to share. And Lord, we pray that the message might spread rapidly. Lord, in this land, would you be made known? Would your word and your gospel spread rapidly from person to person? Lord, where there's barriers, where the enemy is against us, Lord, would you break down the walls? Lord, would you protect us? Would you protect those who've gone from here to share your gospel? And Lord, would you direct our hearts into your love for our broken world? And Lord, give us the perseverance of Christ to persevere personally and together as your church in sharing your message with your world. Amen.